is coming online now. So thanks for your patience, everybody. And thanks for being willing to sign up for this committee. Parking issues are notoriously challenging. And so this can at times be a pretty heavy lift, so I really do appreciate you volunteering the time to kind of work through some of this stuff. To get this meeting kicked off, why don't we do a brief round of introductions. My name is Derek Tokos. I'm the City of Newport's Community Development Director. I've been with the city since 2009. I've been working on parking issues pretty much continuously since 2009 at various times. So I'll be able to share some of that history as we go through this, and I'll be the person who's going to be principally staffing this committee moving forward. Why don't we go this way?
I'm Jason Malloy, the Chief of Police. Historically, I've supervised the parking position from the police department. I've been with the city 27 years. I've got to see the ebbs and flows of parking and the consistent parking problems. Unfortunately, no parking answers, so super excited what you're going to come up with for us.
Yeah, Bill, if you could share your history with parking issues with the city as well as we go on.
I'm Bill Brannigan. I'm a planning commissioner for the city. In addition to that, for the past 3 years, we had kind of a subgroup before this committee came together. That did include Mr. Ripka up there. And we kind of wrestled with the whole thing about the Bayfront, City Center, and Nye Beach. Did a lot of outreach in those areas. Mm-hmm. And as kind of a committee, we came up with a bunch of recommendations, which ended up going up to the city council. The city council, for the most part, ended up agreeing with the recommendations that we came up with. However, those were only recommendations, and as part of that, they wanted to have to put together a standing committee who could take a look at those, provide input to the city as well as the city council on a go-forward basis. And everybody around the table, including me, we posted to
Derek, meetings. His audio keeps cutting out.
I think you got to speak loud.
I got to speak loud, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, as part of the city council, they put together a committee with representatives from Bayfront City Center and Nye Beach, as well as two at-large people, one of which is me, and I believe the other one is Nevin. And we all have some terms which expire in 23 and 24, but it's this committee's recommendation to oversee and make sure that as we implement the parking
recommendations
to the city council, that we have the authority, but we have kind of the final say before the city council gets involved. That's the history. And it was a lot of fun.
Well, my name is Aaron Bretz. I'm the director of operations at the port, but I'm here as a member of the committee. I was on the previous committee and participated in several of the outreach meetings with the community and attended the public hearings before the Planning Commission and City Council. So, here to help.
My name is Nevin Beckus. My wife and I, or my family and I, moved to Newport a few years ago. We own Jack Spratt's on the Bayfront, and I work at GP. Love the area and just want to be a part of any solutions, because I drive down the Bayfront quite a bit, and it's quite a challenge.
Oh yeah.
And as the report says, year round. So.
I'm Araceli Guevara. I am a resident of Newport. I would like to maybe give a voice for the Latino community, and I'm part of the committee as well. I'm sure that we take care of everybody, that it will be a fair transition with the parking in the city. Thank you.
My name is Robert Emond. My wife and I moved to to Newport from Eugene a couple of years ago, and I'm a board member of the Nye Neighborhood Association, and your outreach reached us, and then we were wanted to put someone onto the committee to have that say for the local issues, and that person is me. When I worked at UC San Diego back in last century, in the 90s, there was parking issues. I was part of that whole administrative supports area, so I've somewhat tangentially been involved in parking issues in the past, so hopefully my experience will be able to come in handy there.
Fantastic. So how about we go ahead and go through introductions with those that are online. Doretta?
I'm Doretta Smith. I'm co-owner and managing broker at Martech Real Estate. I'm also a stakeholder in the city center. I own the commercial building on the corner of Herbert and 101. And just thought I would get in and try to help solve the problems.
Fantastic. Thanks, Doretta. Gary?
Hey, Derek. Good to see you again.
Yeah. Nice.
With our continuous parking saga. Gary Ripka, I served on the last parking committee, commercial fisherman on fishing vessel Western Breeze, Tabitha, and Genoa, and on a commercial building on the bayfront. Dan, been involved in this for quite a while. I don't know how many years Derek and I have been doing this, but it's been a while.
And Janelle.
Hi, I'm Janelle Goplin, and I have my husband and I own Clearwater and the Barge on the Bayfront, and I'm happy to be part of the committee.
And it's officially 2 a.m. where you're at right now?
Yes, I actually am in Ireland right now, and I just came out of my relative's pub, and I am very present for the meeting.
Fair enough. Do we have anybody else online? Sherry? I don't see anybody else online. Okay. You know, I think that will double for roll call since we did the round. We know who all's on either video conference or in person. This agenda for the kickoff meeting was really set up to provide folks with kind of an overview of the ground that we've covered. I have put together a little PowerPoint presentation to kind of run through that. I would very much appreciate, you know, anybody who, certainly those that have had, you know, experience and context with some of the issues I'm covering to chime in as we go along. So first off, we'll be kind of going through the committee roles and responsibilities. Then we'll go through a review of the city's parking policies. That will include the parking study, what was done with the study, the recommendations that came from the last committee that were ultimately adopted by the city council. So we'll talk about what questions were asked and answered and which ones still need to be addressed. There's a lot of policy issues that have been asked and answered, and this group will be doing a bit of implementation. And so we'll be discussing some of that. At the end, I'd like to talk a little bit about future meeting schedule. Next steps, we'll talk about that a little bit. I would like to get this as a standing meeting if we can, like at a fixed day per month or something like that, so we can program that if that works for folks, but I'd like to talk a little bit about that. And then maybe, you know, while I can be the one to kind of walk through agendas and facilitate this, I don't have to be the person that does that. So one of the things I'd like to leave with you to think about, and maybe as a discussion item for the next meeting, would be whether or not you want to have elect a chair for us as staff to coordinate with, or if you prefer me to walk through agendas, you know, in this kind of structure. I really have no preference one way or the other, but I do think it's something you probably want to talk about. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and tee up a presentation.
Council?
No.
Who's?
No, we didn't. They didn't set this standing committee up with that as part of the structure of the committee. Now, they may choose to have a liaison begin to attend. And we also, I do want to note, have two vacancies still, one for City Center and one for Knight Beach. So we will likely have at least a couple of additional people join us at some point once they've, you know, been interviewed by the council and appointed to the committee. Does everybody online see this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to just kind of go through the slides. This is the same. This is covered. We have them on the big screens here in City Hall too. And this is information that's also in the materials I provided you, mostly reference materials. So we'll go ahead and get started. If I can make my computer work. Here we go. All right, so let's go ahead and talk about, just briefly, makeup of the community. We talked about it's equal representation from Bayfront, Night Beach, and City Center. These are special parking areas, and what we mean by that, these are areas that the city for decades has carved out and had special parking standards there, largely because, you know, it was a recognition these are geographically constrained areas, commercial areas, where you don't have room to provide off-street parking for all uses. So what has been done historically is that you provide that parking in the public space, either within the road rights of way or in designated parking lots. So a large percentage of the parking, not all of it, but a large percentage of the parking in these three areas is public. And so you have equal representation from three districts and two at-large members. The powers and duties are outlined in the adoption ordinance, which I included in the materials. The group is, you know, empowered to facilitate implementation of parking-related improvements through engagement with a variety of different folks, engaging other committees, engaging the council, engaging neighborhood associations, business associations, other groups that may be interested in parking issues. So you have pretty broad authority there. Facilitating implementation means generally making recommendations related to parking policy and programs. You don't go out there as a committee and actually build stuff. You make a recommendation at the city, build stuff. But you also have an opportunity to, and I think this is a key role, that a number of the committee members the last go around, I think, did a really effective job of, which is promoting and advocating, you know, with the public, you know, what the parking initiatives are that the city's pursuing, what the policies are, to try to get feedback into the system from members of the community and to inform them as these issues come up, so that they understand what some of these different policy options are and why certain policy options are being pursued. City's got a long history of managing parking. In fact, before the council adopted the recommendations from the last parking advisory committee, which they did in March of 2020, they asked that I go through the mind-numbing task of going through decades of what the city's parking policies have been, which ended up being a three-page memo, which I have here just as a point of reference. Those here can take it with them, you know, just for your records for the committee work, and I'll send it out via email so those online have it as well. But the city, and I didn't go back prior really to 1983, is kind of really when was what we call the payment in lieu era, which is from 83 to 2009 in these three areas, and also citywide for a period of time too. The city had a policy that said, hey, look, if you're doing a development project and you can't provide the off-street parking you need on your own property, you can pay a fee to the city in lieu of providing that parking. Those fees varied over time. Some, I think, were structured as fixed fees. Others were annual payments. So the form of that varied over time. Some of them took the form of formal agreements. And then the concept with a payment in lieu of program is that that goes into a kitty for use for parking improvements at some point in time. The problem with that
there were just various problems, were equity issues. So over a series of decades now, you had some people paying to maintain public parking assets, whereas others who happen to not do new development were not, even though they are utilizing the same public parking to support their businesses. And the fees were never anywhere close to what it would cost to actually build new parking, and so you never had enough money to build parking, let alone maintain the public parking assets you had. And so that fundamental fairness issue and the fact that those programs were not generating anywhere near what was needed to actually maintain the city's public parking assets or build new parking led to a change. And that change came about through earlier parking committees where people was, hey, this isn't right, city forms committee, recommendations come out of that. It led to what we call the parking district era, which was from 2009 and 2019. And so payment in lieu option went away, was terminated. Those, and then we moved into what we call parking districts, which were economic improvement districts under state law, which is basically businesses had to you form an economic improvement district, say in Nye Beach, one in the Bayfront, one in the city center. And the businesses basically, it's kind of like a local improvement district. You know, it's say, look, we want to generate funds for parking improvements. We're willing, in this case, to pay a business license surcharge to do it. And as long as a majority of the businesses were okay with that, you could form that district and you generate those funds. Now, the way we set that up is each district was different. You know, so in Nye Beach, the assessment was different there than it was in City Center, and the assessment in City Center was different than the Bayfront. So what you had in Nye Beach was a three-tiered business license assessment that basically said, look, the maximum fee will be charged for those that provide no off-street parking. Those that provide one to three off-street parking spaces are kind of the middle fee. And those that provide more than that are the lowest fee. But everybody had a fee. City Center, because the parking needs aren't as dire there, and because we have, frankly, you know, a lot of vacancies, and that's been that way, unfortunately, for a long time, you have a simple flat fee of $35 per business. And then in the Bayfront, it was keyed off the number of employees. So the large employers like the fish plants pay a higher rate. The small employers that just have a handful of employees pay a lower rate. And that's three-tiered too, as I recall. That is being replaced by what I'm calling now the demand management era, which is what we'll be implementing out of the parking study that the council adopted based on the recommendations from the last group, which is really seeking to change behavior in the highest demand areas through, in the case of the Bayfront, the implementation of a metering combined with a permit and time parking program. And then in Nye Beach, the discussion will turn to how do we adjust a permit parking program to cover the expense of the public parking down there. And the concept here is revenues from this will be driven back into the public parking assets in the respective districts and to also support enforcement. And Jason, I imagine we'll have a little bit of time here. You can talk a little bit about how enforcement's worked and hasn't worked. So we did a parking study. The parking study was completed in 2018, was formally adopted by the council in 2020, and then we stopped implementation of the recommendations because we had a pandemic and it just didn't make sense at that point in time to pursue that. And now we're ramping back up now that, I don't want to say we're over with the pandemic, but we're over that immediate hurdle with the pandemic. So that is, you know, the purpose of the study was to assess the existing parking conditions in the districts, conduct public outreach to identify what could be done to improve the availability of parking or other options. Vanpool, transit were heavily discussed through that as well, or other constraints that are out there. Field surveys were done at that point in time to establish actual utilization. Up to that point in the city, every discussion about what was going on in these districts was based on somebody's perception of what was happening. This study actually said, you know, took it to the, this is actually what's happening based on observed utilization rates with people out there with tablets documenting what was happening at fixed intervals so that we could get some good data out of it. A capital program was developed and financing strategies were developed. Now you're going to see in different documents, different numbers as to the total number of parking stalls or spaces that are out there. And that's just based on how many are counted on a particular map or in the context of, you know, how many of these are actually in areas where we have time parking versus areas where we don't have time parking. For those that may not know, we do have time parking limitations currently in place in all three districts. The time parking restrictions are different in all three districts. 2 hour in the city center, 3 hour in Night Beach, 4 hour in the Bayfront. By and large, there are also some specific areas where you have shorter term parking for unique circumstances. What I'm showing with these is through that process, we actually developed a pretty good inventory of how many parking spaces we have, both in the public lots and on street, and what's signed and what's not. So we have it for the Bayfront, and we have it for the city center. And we have that all in a GIS format. We can manipulate that however we need to manipulate that. We may update that at times too, but it's information that's available to the committee, and I thought it important to know we have that data. So, you know, we pulled in public input in 2016. We did walking tours with folks. We did a number of outreach meetings with specific interest groups, all to help inform the preparation of the study. And then they got to the doing the field work. That field work was done. Now, you know, you're looking at it several years old. So, but from what I've observed, conditions have just gotten more congested. So what you see here, you probably would be amplifying a little bit based on where we're at today. But they did analysis in the summer peak period in late August on a Thursday and a Saturday, and then they picked up off-peak periods as well in on a December Saturday. At that time, care was taken to avoid dates that would be skewed with special events. We do a lot of special events here, as we all know, and if you try to do a count, and it's a particular special event, it can really throw you off. But the personnel walked their fixed routes, they observed stall use turnover rates, they observed how frequently vehicles were exceeding time parking limitations. So we have all that data. One of the key themes that we touch on a lot is, you know, what does functionally full mean? You know, when are you basically at your limit? And that's generally understood to be 85% utilization of your parking. Once you hit 85% utilization of your parking, you're considered functionally full. And what that means is people can't find parking spaces. So at that point, you're seeing a whole lot more of illegal parking. They're just going to squeeze in spots that are not legal. You're going to see a lot more congestion attributed to vehicles cruising for parking. So they're looping through continuously because they can't find it the first pass, so they're coming through again. And you start to see a lot of undesirable behavior from people. So people start being, because they get really frustrated because they can't find parking. Parking areas that are functionally full are the ones that are candidates for metering, and that's one of the exercises we had went through with this study. So we have data that talks about all kinds of stuff, percentage overall occupancy, occupancy by street block, average stay length, percentage overstays, unique vehicles served daily by stall, so how many vehicles actually have utilized some of these, which really gives you a sense of, is it somebody who's employed, staying there the entire day and then leaving? Well, you're not going to have a lot of turnover, as opposed to those where, you know, you have a number of, say, tourists who are in and out, in and out. Now, And that's all distilled in the study, which you have as a point of reference, and which we have in data form where we can adjust some of this stuff. But what it showed is, and it's no surprise, that Bayfront is well above 85% during the peak summer periods, and is at that time was pretty close to it even in December at certain times of the day. And as I said, you know, this is 2016, so you can expect that that's even worse now. But we have the information in terms of, you know, the average stay length is less than what the time parking requirements necessarily call for. And we didn't have a tremendous amount of overstay, 7%. You know, one of those common themes that you had before we did the study was, well, if you just did more enforcement, you wouldn't have a congestion parking issue. You know, you time parking things would turn over. Well, most people are actually adhering to the time parking requirements, and the overstays were only 7%, which isn't a large percentage, because you figure with enforcement, maybe you can adjust that a few percentage points, but you're not going to eliminate it even with active parking enforcement. Nye Beach, also, and this was the, in particular, the lots. So you're talking about generally your core area in and around the turnaround, Coast Street, that area, above the 85%, but not as bad as the Bayfront, and certainly not as bad as the Bayfront during the off-peak periods. They also had a average stay length on, you're within kind of the parameters, and your overstay is 5% during the summer, 7%. Questions were asked too is that likely to change anytime somebody goes out there? These percentages, based on how things are being managed, aren't likely to change a whole lot if they went back out and did it again. City Center doesn't have a parking issue by and large, at least didn't in 2016, and that's what that shows. Did have more in the way of overstays, but you also have a tighter, that's the 2-hour parking limitation. And because the overstays in the City Center issue really haven't been much of an issue, because you have a lot of available parking, and so if somebody's overstaying in a particular stall and there's plenty of other stalls for you to park in, it's not a really big deal. One of the challenges we have, frankly, is maintenance of these parking assets. We built up over time public parking in these three areas, but we don't have any dedicated funds to maintain them. And so one of the things that's included, and I didn't create a slide here, but went over with previous committee, is we put together a program showing here are all of the lots that we have, and here's kind of the condition of each of those lots and where they fall in the spectrum. One of the things you want to do when you're doing maintaining parking lots or public streets for that matter, is you want to have a regular maintenance program. Otherwise, if you don't, and they get deteriorated to the point where you're seeing a lot of alligatoring, a lot of cracks in the roadway, you're at a full reconstruction. And when you get to a full reconstruction, that's the most expensive form of repair. So you don't really want to run that cycle. You'd rather be, you know, doing a seal coat, then you follow the seal coat up in a few years with a grind and inlay, where you grind that down a little bit, inlay it over, and that stretches that period out, so you don't get to the point where you have to do that full reconstruction where you're ripping it all the way down to the base, rebuilding the base and rebuilding the road surface. That's a major issue for us, because we simply have no dedicated funding, so we tend to fall into we'll just rebuild it when it's basically at the end of its useful life, which is what we did with the Nye Beach turnaround. But as you may all recall, the turnaround was in very, very poor condition before we did that reconstruct down there. And those funds were pulled largely from room tax. But that was a one-time source, and we don't always have room tax available because we don't have a dedicated portion of that to parking lot maintenance. It's used by a whole lot of other interested parties. So the information I provide you basically shows, you know, even with the business license surcharge, and it's meaningful money to the businesses that pay it, it's still well below what we need to maintain these assets. Now, a lot of discussion has been had in the past, too, about, well, what can we do something instead of focusing on additional parking supply, or look at doing something to get people to not drive down in the especially tourists in the to take things such as a rapid transit. So we worked with the Lincoln County Transit on this because they were doing a transit plan update, and we're able to get the traffic engineering firm they were working with, which is Kittleson and Associates, to take a hard look at what it would cost to put a rapid loop in, and the cost was about $200,000 a year, because you'd have to add a bus and staff to do a 15-minute Tenai Beach, City Hall, Bayfront kind of loop. This was where they landed with it. There's nothing magic about that that could be adjusted. But any way you adjust it, you still have a logistical issue. You're covering a fair amount of ground, and you would likely be using City Hall as kind of that, the central kind of, you know, wayside for folks. So the recommendations as they came out of the study, and I adjusted these to match with what was actually adopted by councils, because we adjusted a number of the policies as we went through the adoption process to address concerns that came up. And so we have a whole package here about improving wayfinding. So branding of city parking lots could be improved, adding street lighting to create better walking environments, particularly in areas that have poor lighting, which then, you know, they're not as attractive for people who are concerned about their safety to actually park there. We have issues with RV parking that could be improved, and with wayfinding enhancements, and steps can be taken to try to improve the visibility of the peripheral lots in these areas. For Nye Beach, it's a performing arts center, which is a large surface lot that most people don't use because they don't know it's there. The Bayfront, you're talking about the Herbert Street, 9th and Herbert, Canyon Way. Again, you're getting on the periphery of these areas. They're not as heavily utilized. How can we encourage them through wayfinding? So that's one package. Demand management, the recommendation that the council adopted was to pursue that, demand management being metering in the Bayfront. And so that would be a combination of metered zones, and I'll bring up a map that shows kind of what that concept is. The prior committee worked a lot on that, where you'd have a meter zone, meter only on the west end where it's more heavily tourist oriented, and then you would transition to a kind of a meter permit as you go to the east. There would also be a permit lot at the Abbey Street lot that would allow meter or permit in there as well. So a lot of thought was put to how do we balance those interests? And then as you get away from that kind of area, you run into a permit time zone where there's a time limitation. That time limitation can be exceeded if you have a permit. So those were the concepts. A lot of that had to do with recognition that the east side, you have a different dynamic with the commercial fishing folks than you do on the west side. For Nye Beach, what the council wants us to is to re-engage there to see if we can come up with a non-metering concept that consists of fees and permit parking to cover the maintenance costs down there. Unless at any point in time, policymakers determine that there's another dedicated funding source that's preferable. That's always out there. But to be candid, it hasn't come up yet, and I'm not sure where it's going to come up from. And we always want to pursue strategic opportunities, partnering opportunities where we can. It's very difficult to get additional public parking, particularly in the Bayfront. Nye Beach, I think there might be a couple of options. So for, one of the concepts is in doing this, council said, look, if we're going to do this, we want to make sure that these revenues are driven back into the parking assets. This is not a ploy by the policymakers of the city of Newport to generate revenue they can siphon off from the meters into the general fund. That's not the desire here. The desire here in using metering is to change people's behavior so that people don't go out and lock up available spaces that work down there, for example, and so then all of a sudden they're all gone and not available for other people. So it's trying to change behavior. That's the principal piece of it. But it also does create a dedicated revenue source that can be used to address parking maintenance, to fund a shuttle like we were just talking about, to potentially fund vanpool or carpool options in partnership with businesses so that you know, their employees can park in a satellite location and carpool down and thus not take up all of the parking. I mean, the issues are different in the different locations. You have a lot of fish plant workers, for example, on the bayfront that park down there for extended periods of time. In both the bayfront and Nye Beach, you have a lot of business owners or employees that park in those areas. Different businesses approach it in different manners. Some businesses really try to encourage through their own behavior and direct discussions with their employees to not park down in the prime spots all the time because they need to have tourists. That's, you know, what drives their business. So everybody kind of takes a different approach. You know, City Hall's campus is no different. To be candid, though, that parking lot that's to the, yeah, to that side of me, to the south of City Hall, that property was purchased by the city for the purpose of future expansion. So that parking lot is really kind of a temporary use. At some point, we fully expect that there'll be a need for, say, innovation or a new police fire structure or something of that nature. And so that land was purchased for that purpose. So there's also a need for the city to evaluate its parking management practices and make sure that it's addressing anticipated needs. We want to try to promote alternative modes of transportation to reduce vehicle trips to and from Nye Beach and the Bayfront. This is a tough one. I mean, we had Bird scooters approach us. You know, would love to get scooters in. But how do you do that in an area where we, unlike a lot of the larger cities or even some of the other comparable cities comparable to us, will often have wider than typical sidewalks where you have a furniture zone where you can have outdoor seating for a restaurant or you have some landscaping or art and spots to park scooters. Pretty tough on the Bayfront. Our sidewalks aren't particularly wide. Where would you park them? How does that dynamic work with a working waterfront where you have forklifts all over the place, cars trying to park? A lot of pedestrians, so we haven't gone down that path, but there certainly is a desire from our council to try to promote alternative modes of transportation to reduce vehicle trips to these areas. You don't have as many cars competing for a limited supply of parking spaces. A lot of support for the rapid transit loop, carpool, vanpool, that kind of thing. We have invested and continue to invest in trying to deal with gaps in our bike and ped network, which at times will make some parking areas more attractive if you can actually get from where you're parking to where you're wanting to go. Over the last few years, there's been a bit of sidewalk work down on the east side of the Bayfront and also up Harbor Drive. We just finished that one. And 6th Street received attention after we did 3rd Street a few years earlier, trying to get improved ped access, which expand your parking options. And I think one of the things that's important to a number of businesses too is these are trade-offs. If we do demand management, the concept here is that we're using metering and permitting to adjust behavior, time parking, that kind of thing. We're not looking to try to build our way out because we know we can't. And so one of the things that we would do with a metering implementation on the Bayfront, for example, would be lifting the off-street parking requirements or lifting them in a very meaningful way. Maybe we keep them in place for certain very high traffic generation type uses that might want to try to establish down there. because we all know there's a fair amount of property on the bayfront and in Nye Beach, frankly, that could be developed if not for the fact that we have pretty strict parking requirements. The ones that come to my mind on the bayfront in particular would be some of the waterfront property. It used to be California Shellfish. I think Pacific Seafood has it now. We all see it. We've got the, it's kind of falling into the bay. I think always like seeing that one fir tree growing up out of the concrete there. But that property can be redeveloped in a very meaningful way. How are you going to pull that off? Because it's going to generate a demand for vehicles too.
That property is horrendous.
It is horrendous. I would agree. But it's an example of property that could be redeveloped down there. So it's not like the bayfront and Nye Beach are built out. They're not. There are development and redevelopment opportunities in both areas, lottery development opportunities in the city center. And so we need to be thinking about that. So that's really kind of the direction where the that really is what garnered a fair amount of support. It was mixed, but there is support for metering in the bayfront. There was opposition at the time that went to the council too. It was mixed, but there was a fair number because, you know, what else are you going to do at this point given the level of congestion down there? Now, Nye Beach, there was less support, more opposition. That's why the council said, okay, for Nye Beach, we'll hold off for the time being, but we do need to revisit the fee structure there because we've got maintenance issues, and we do know that there's a fair amount of demand in Nye Beach too. In certain areas. So again, you know, why did we land there with the two? We don't have enough parking. We're not going to be able to build our way out of it. Significant congestion and safety issues. This is the one tool that's effective. Metering is influencing demand. It's a proven for getting better stall turnover. Time parking and enforcement can't address a supply problem in of itself, nor can wayfinding, lighting, and striping. It'll help on the margins, but it's not going to really help much more than that. But this was the bayfront. It's in your materials, but this is the concept. Now, this will need to be refined moving forward. It's one of the things that this group is tasked with is helping to navigate this to implementation on the bayfront, but it shows, you know, the in the green over here is where you would have the meter only with lots like the Abbey Street where you'd be able to do a meter your permit. Then on the east side, that's a meter permit, and then as you get further away, you go more into the time parking. We have different concepts that we've been kicking at. We'll have to revisit in terms of how you price your permits and what your strategy is with parking permits. Do you limit the number of permits you're going to sell? Or do you just say, you know, anybody can get a permit, but it's not a guarantee for a space. So it's basically, you know, it's a hunting permit. You get a permit, but if there's a space there that you can use it in, great. If not, oh well, it just is what it is. So that's something we'll need to think about. Yeah, yes. Sorry, I couldn't see you, Janelle.
Oh, sorry. My question, I can wait till later when you're finished.
Okay. The point here with the bayfront, since this is where the council elected to pursue the metering permitting, is that, you know, we did go through with the last group so far as to identify, you know, how many pay stations would you need? What are those likely to cost? You know, how many spaces are in play? At that pricing, how much revenue are we likely to generate? So we went through that exercise at that point in time, and this stuff's all scalable and adjustable. The council did have a clear preference in policy that they adopted is that any metering program, that the metering program down there not be year-round, that it'd be more driven on peak period and then drop down during the off-peak period. But depending on how you set your fees for permits or metering is going to influence how much revenue you can generate. The council has set aside about $640,000 for the metering, first phase of metering implementation on the bayfront. So we do have that in the current fiscal year budget. A lot of different capital project needs were kicked around in the study, and they were incorporated into what was adopted by the council. You know, a lot of folks say, well, why don't we just do some structured parking on the bayfront or on pier parking? That's really expensive. So you're looking on the bayfront, given the geologic issues down there, at probably something that's going to run around $4 million to build. And it has significant annual costs associated with it, you know. Now, that's not to say you couldn't pursue a strategic partnership where it's a blend of public-private money, but that partnership opportunity has to present itself, and it has to be the right piece where you could actually pull it off. There are things that the Port of Newport can do to help. You know, at the time, we were talking about improving access to Port Dock 5, yeah, Port Dock 7. But through this conversation, some of that parking, especially on the commercial fishing front, there are things the port can do to help as well in terms of adding additional supply or making some of its space available. And we'll lean on Aaron through this discussion as we pursue those.
Yeah, well, probably leans back.
So that's lighting costs, wayfinding costs. Those were all kind of order of magnitude costs that were thrown into the plan. And this is the kind of outreach we did at the time, and this is likely the kind of outreach we will need to do again to move this forward, is reaching out and engaging the affected businesses, some of the key players. You know, obviously on the side of the bayfront, you'd be re-engaging with the bayfront processors. In the prior committee, we actually had representation from one of those processors on the committee. Commercial fishermen, working with them again, re-engaging with them on this. Nye Beach businesses, Nye Neighbors, Chamber of Commerce, Rotary Clubs, City Center businesses, all of that. Yeah, one of the things we just couldn't get around is parking supply in these areas can't meet demand, and we can't build our way out of it. We can't, wayfinding, signage, it's just not going to get us there. So demand management's really where we need to go, and there are different forms, either metering or permit parking is kind of where we had to land with it. On that note, Jason, if you could maybe speak a little bit about enforcement, kind of where we're at right now, where we have been, and kind of how the collections work with respect to that, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding at times in terms of what you can actually generate in terms of revenue through parking enforcement.
So enforcement over the years has been handled by the police department. We have hired, early on, we had a seasonal parking enforcement that ran just about 4 months of the year. And at the time, parking fines for violations were at like 70s rates. I think until about, I think 6 to 8 years ago is we looked at, you know, a lot of citations were still $5 and $10. They were not equal to what you would find if you received a parking citation in any other city. And so that was reviewed, and it was changed with the approval of the city council and our municipal court judge. And so then we changed, ultimately, it was still funded out of the general fund. But we went with the theory that if we had full-time parking and more aggressive efforts at parking fine collections, that those would balance out. Unfortunately, that failed also, because with parking violations, there's really no sanction. If you get a moving violation while driving your car and you fail to go to court or you don't pay your fine, the consequence is a suspended driver's license. If you don't pay a parking citation, there is not a consequence. We will file it, We will keep an eye on it. We have the ability to put a boot on a vehicle for 3 unpaid parking citations. But when you look at the majority of the citations that were issued, they were not people from Newport. So we are not going to travel to faraway land to go put a boot on your car. That's just not realistic, or timing is bad. And so we have full-time enforcement, which was effective, but again, it was only one person. And when you look at the majority of our parking complaints and problems and issues on the Bayfront are related to time parking, that's a 4-hour event. And so the parking officer marks the tires, marks the vehicle, comes back 4 hours later to see if that vehicle is still there. You can only do that a couple times throughout an 8-hour shift, and then you do not hit all the vehicles. And so while there was quite a few citations written, the collections efforts were pretty bad, meaning we just didn't have the ability to collect on them. We attempted a parking bureau where we had a contracted with an outside source that would handle all of our parking needs. So they wrote the parking citations, they handled the collections, put forth a lot more aggressive effort. And while we collected, I think, about 25% more than we had, we still were not collecting the amount of revenue that should have been collected. Then we fast forward into COVID. We lost funding, and so we haven't had parking enforcement for the last couple of years. And our police officers, while they can do parking, we triage everything, and we don't have our police officers out aggressively doing parking. They deal with the emergencies, they deal with the hazards, they deal with the chronic complaints, things like that. The same with our community service officers. But they all have another job to do. We want our police officers out doing police officer work. We want our CSOs out doing what it is of their main job description. So right now we don't have the ability to do full-time parking enforcement. It is generally complaint generated, and they'll spend most of their time dealing with abandoned vehicles. So that's the side of parking they will deal with. Trying to use us to help with the turnover on the Bayfront doesn't work. What we've heard from a lot of people is, I'll take the $20 ticket, it's like paying $20 for parking, and I will just stay here all day. And we don't have anything in our code that prohibits that. You know, as long as they're not there for 72 hours, you know, in the 71st hour, they've ultimately paid $20 for, and they don't have to pay the citation, because again, there is not a recourse. And that's not a fault of the city, that's not a fault, it's just a fault of the system. Oregon does not allow for ultimately aggressive parking collection methods. And so the ability to suspend license, the ability to do liens, things like that are not handled. I guess that's kind of it from the overall, and I could talk about this all day long. I do know that we are funded to begin a parking enforcement again in April, which is the last quarter of the budget. But again, it'll depend where we're at with our parking plan, where we're at with the enforcement and things like that. So they are related together. On if one moves forward, the other moves forward.
Yeah, to be clear, so the expectation and the way the council has that was ultimately adopting the budget is that if we can get to this point where we're rolling out that meter permit program on the Bayfront, for example, then we can ramp up the parking enforcement concurrent with that. The expectation there too is that revenues generated from these parking and meter permit program, some portion of that would be used to support enforcement as well.
I do have, and I brought this up to the last committee, is a small concern about hiring one person to do this. One person is pretty much going to be needed to monitor parking meters. So for the overtime, the Bayfront, the compliance, and the enforcement, which will then not leave a lot of time to go to City Center, to go to Night Beach, to go to the other parts of the city. So when we had our previous enforcement, their job was the entire city with a focus on the Bayfront, but they still had to make it to every part of the city. In an 8 or 10 hour shift, you'd be shocked how many times you cannot go somewhere. Generally, the Bayfront's a foot patrol. There's really nowhere to drive. And so there's several trips up and down. And I don't know, I guess, until we do it, how much time and energy and effort it is going to take to manage parking meters and parking stations. the guesstimate is that it is going to be a full-time job for one person.
I have a question.
Yeah, Gary.
I thought, you know, on the old committee, when we went over these parking violations, I thought the enforcement was going to get cranked up to where it was, you know, they could boot tires and I thought that we were heading in that direction. And what happened with that?
We did head in that direction. This was several years ago. We updated our policies. We updated our procedures within the city. We updated the ordinances. We actually bought a couple of new boots. And then what we found out was when finance was giving us the, finance is the one that monitors the citations, who's paid and not paid. We would get a monthly report and we would go through to determine the eligible vehicles to be booted. They were, most of them were not from here. And so we were ultimately, if we were doing it, and we did a couple, we're targeting our local people while the majority of the offenders were not from here. And so because you're local, you got the boot. And we really didn't find that fair.
Gotcha.
Quick question. Is the boot rule Oregon state law, or is that a, could we change that locally?
It's a city rule.
So it is a city rule.
Yeah, it's part of our ordinance.
Okay. So that could be addressed if that was something we wanted to pursue. But
there is. You know, and I had also looked, there's a variety of things now. There's a boot blanket, which is a device that goes over the windshield. Mm-hmm. There's a variety of parking enforcement tools. They're all very expensive, but they're all very effective also. But again, a boot program, that is a heavy involvement.
Right.
You know, one, you have to find the vehicle, and then it's generally a two-person job.
Yeah.
Janelle's ready, I think.
All right, Janelle, you up?
Just a couple of questions. I'm sorry, the slides went by quickly and I didn't have a time to look at them before. I must have missed the email. But on the, just a couple of questions. On the metering, it seemed like that expense was very high. My question is, were you planning on putting physical meters or just a sign with a QR code and an app?
So we're going to need to work through that. And it's an excellent question. I hadn't touched on that. The technology just keeps changing and evolving. And so to the extent to which we can avoid hard infrastructure, we'll really want to explore that and see if that's a viable option for us. I think we did the study, we were assuming kiosks, just, you know, at strategic locations. But, I mean, nowadays, I mean, it's just, heck, you know, you pay in your app. You need more time. You pay a little bit more on your app, on your phone, and
you go to a small town in Ireland, and they've got a QR code. You go to a big town in Florida, and they've got a QR code. It's the simplest thing, and everyone has a phone.
Right. We're gonna want to explore that as part of what this group does, is to kind of fine tune that implementation program as we move that forward. The other thing that we wanted to do when we did the budgeting, though, is to make sure we had some resources there to spruce up the parking areas in the Bayfront so that if we're going to roll out metering, it's not going to be in a potholed parking lot, that it's going to be in, you know, one that's in reasonably good condition. And I know we have a number of parking assets that really need some attention.
I mean, I think that nobody cares, but that's just my opinion. They just want to park. But it's fine. I think. I will say that if you save money not having physical meters, maybe you could hire people to actually implement the meters. I know that, you know, Ripley's has the new meter program. And I know that, like you guys were saying, nobody's really enforcing that. But from what I've heard from the people at Ripley's is that they're making, you know, quite a bit of money from people paying those tickets. So people are using it and they are paying it.
And I think Janelle brings up a really good point. a few years ago when we started this, I don't really think QR codes were new. And I know if you go anywhere, they're that. I'm curious on the enforcement side for us is what is it that we see? Because you don't have a little paper ticket that tells you when it's okay. And so I guess the back end on ours, on the administration, the enforcement, what does our parking officer see? I'm very curious with that.
Yeah, and we can work through that.
And you know, with that.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, with that, I mean, we lived in LA before we came here, and we've got traveled to a lot of places. The more you get the businesses involved, that they can tell the customers that are coming into their business, hey, make sure you pay your parking because they're going to tow your car. As soon as they hear that from the business, they're like, oh, shit, I got to go pay my meter. Like, if you get them involved, all of the businesses, and the businesses are telling their people, the restaurants are telling their people as they check in for their table, did you pay for your meter? Because they will tow you. You know, even if it's not true, like if the story is there and the businesses are all involved in telling that story, then it will work.
Yeah, I was just going to add to it, this is to Jason's point, most of the code type parking scenarios that I've worked through, they basically you're logging in your license plate information, and so enforcement would be via something digital.
Right.
You know, so.
And the port just contracted with Park Mobile to do this in South Beach,
yeah.
And we're doing it this summer. So I can give you a lot of information on what it looks like on that end of it. It involves some photographs as well. Sometimes you can set it up multiple different ways, but one of them can be pictures. You have a person snap a picture of their vehicle, they pay. And so it's a pretty quick visual reference for the officer to run through and see what they're
Or you punch in your license plate number and
yep.
It goes in. I mean, this, yeah, you're right. And one of the in terms of next steps for us, there are several. One thing I want to emphasize is our plan of attack is to focus on the Bayfront first, address that, and then move to Nye Beach and not try to have those conversations at the same time, because I think it gets really confusing and convoluted in that way. For the meter permit program, you know, we're going to have to work this on the city side to an RFP where we put it out for competitive proposals. So we'll be contacting different vendors with different technology and bring it back to this group for you to take a look at it and say, hey, does this make sense? Or, you know, which product might make the most sense for us so we can get that proposal, you know, put together and get that on the street. We'll also be working through the code changes that we need to make and pair with that in terms of lifting off-street parking requirements, because when we do that kind of rollout, we'd want to also be able to put in place those code changes. Those code changes would also provide an administrative framework for the permit parking, so we know how we're supposed to be doing that. And so we'll be working with you on that as well, in terms of the permit parking program, how to price the permits, how many permits to make available, that whole piece.
And Derek, if I can add, I know one of the, I don't know if it was a point of contention, but a lot of discussions that I don't know, and Gary can remember, he was there, was how do we handle the workers on the Bayfront? How do we handle the commercial fishermen? Because a lot of times, certain times of the year, a lot of parking is taken up by workers. The same with the businesses that are down there. It is a frequent complaint we get where one business calls because another business employee is parked in front of their store all day. And you know, and generally when we respond to those, the employee's like, where do you want me to park? You know, it maybe it's not realistic for me to have to walk all the way down this hill, or it's somebody that's concerned about walking at night back up the hill into the dark. You know, these are all valid points. But again, I don't really know if that was something that we completely ironed out. There's a lot of discussion on, is there a permit? Do you offer a shuttle? You know, I know there's a variety of answers, but I don't think anything was actually resolved last year.
And I will say, I know for our businesses on the Bayfront, we've had different carpool situations set up at the parking lot. What's it called? It's by the, it's on Canyon Way. Please forgive me. What's the parking lot?
Canyon Way.
We call it the Canyon Way lot.
Yep.
Okay. And we used to do carpool from there, but now there are so many transient RVs there that park there that our employees are now fearful, so they won't park there and do the carpool. So we've now had to adjust our whole plan. So in your presentation, when you said more RV parking for there, I mean, we've got to do something different there because that was our employee lot, and now it's not because the transient RV situation is horrible.
And the RVs is a whole other conversation. If you've attended or listened to any of the council meetings over the last 2 years, there's been a lot of changes in Oregon law that really prohibit us from making laws that prohibit them from parking. And so this is an ongoing, we have an actual draft ordinance that I think within the next couple council meetings is going to be go to public hearing and adopted. But again, we cannot eliminate it. We have to allow it because state and federal law say so.
But it should put us in a position where we can more effectively move them along.
Correct.
So
regulate.
But yeah, that is a challenge in of itself.
Gary has something to say.
Eric, before the pandemic and everything, and we were moving along, you know, I had had a lot of conversations with Pacific Seafoods on John Moody, and they wanted to push their, you know, they were really in favor of moving the employees up there. But I think there's some support for that, quite a bit of support for that.
Yeah, and I also think that the Discover Newport Committee and the other tourism committees, when you're talking about a shuttle that would go from that lot down to the Bayfront and all around, that would be I would think that would support tourism, and maybe they could pay for that.
I think Janelle brought up a good point about this homeless situation we got going on here, started in Newport. It's starting to be more and more visible, you know, with tents on sidewalks now. We all know about the ones right there below City Hall.
Yep.
And I think that wasn't so much an issue with the old committee, you know, on moving employees up the hill. That's going to be an issue unless we can get that under control. We're going to have more of a problem talking to the plant managers, pushing for that, if they're not feeling like their employees are safe. And I think that's something. I know that's not our position as a committee, but we're going to have a harder time. I think the support's there, but these are issues that are going to come up.
No, that's a fair point.
So,
that's a good point, actually.
Well, the study was done in, 2016? A lot changed in 6 years.
Yes, it has.
Absolutely.
For instance, in City Center, the lot in front of my building, when that study was done, the community college building was vacant. And so, yeah, there wasn't much pressure on that parking lot, but there is now.
But also, when we were only 2 years away when our last committee was. Less than, you know, what, Derek, 2 years, something like that, close to it. We didn't have the homeless thing 2 years like we do, people sleeping on sidewalks. That wasn't 6 years. That's in the last 2 years. And especially in the last 6 months.
Pre-pandemic seems like a lifetime ago.
Yeah. Well, anyway, get into that. But the support's there, but some things have recently changed that we're going to need to address. Anyway, I'll leave it at that.
So anybody else have anything you want to share at this point?
I just have another question.
Yeah.
You mentioned the cost of building the parking structures, I think it was like $4 million for the Bayfront or something.
Mm-hmm.
What about projected revenues from those structures? Was there any numbers for those? If, say, you charged $10 a day or $2 an hour or whatever, did they have numbers so you could compare?
Yeah, I'd have to go back and see if we had any of that information in terms of at what point you kind of recover the cost of that. I know we did that with the meter work in terms of the investment, and you recover your capital investment in a couple of years. That would be a much longer horizon, obviously, with a structured parking arrangement.
Sure.
Well, and depending on the use qualifications, you know, I'm sure there's lots of businesses that would pay a monthly fee to put their employees in a tap structure.
Right, and so you'd have to work through some of the different dynamics.
I mean, that could be. I was thinking, you know, sort of spitballing that might be a solution for the Bayfront and the employee issue. If you've got a consistent regular income coming in, renting out those stalls to the employees, and you then know when you're going to recapitalize on the expenses.
You might have to change the height requirements for buildings.
Right. Derek, if I remember correctly, I might be wrong, but that really thick, I think it's that memo that you were talking about that has all the historical stuff in it.
Yeah.
It seems to me I recall like David Allen mentioning that they had looked at the potential revenue and it didn't break. It wasn't in the ballpark. But I'm not positive on that. Was my impression. So I don't.
Well, they had explored it a number of years ago before this study was done and the last parking advisory group was pulled together as a structured parking lot over at Abbey Street, and they couldn't get it penciled out.
Yeah,
at
right,
point in time.
Right. That's what I recall then. That's what I was thinking of.
But the other problem is the land we have. Have a structured parking lot, how big does it really need to be to handle? There's a height requirement within the city. The other issue we kind of really have is geologic around here. Mm-hmm. I mean,
right. No, I'm not saying that the cost will work out, but unless you have that, we don't really know.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious if we could get some ballpark and, you know, like that's totally pie in the sky, or maybe it might be worth it, or, you know, or just have options.
And to be candid, we've also discussed that the potential of the surface lot in Ivy Beach right there, the one that Greg Morrow has, used to be the laundry, that potentially being used as a structured parking.
Sure.
In part, too, because that particular property has subsurface environmental issues that haven't been resolved yet with DEQ, so it really can't be utilized for a commercial type of occupancy or rental. So parking really is kind of what it can be used for at this point in time.
And of course, I think the other side of it is you'd have to find, like you were saying, we have to find somebody who's willing, because it'd be a public-private partnership, I think,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So we have to find somebody. But then again, I don't think when we were, I think the PIP-type was torn down since there was a whole different plan with that, and that's been scrapped since our committee last met too.
Right.
And it's it's something where we would have to attract somebody to invest in. Anyway.
One thing that I have seen that works very well, the casino in Lincoln City has this shuttle. I don't know if this could help somehow. An example. So the shuttle comes from Lincoln City to pick up workers in Newport or Toledo. So they do a whole route and basically at their homes. I'm not sure if the fishing company, for example, will be willing to provide something like that, or perhaps the shuttle that you mentioned. But still, the idea is to leave empty spaces for the tourists to come in and park. So.
Yeah, I think part of this, the implementation of this meter permit program kind of really kind of forces the conversation in that regard too, because if the spaces are there for employees to take, which is the case now, they'd take them, and so there's no incentive to do a van pooling kind of arrangement. But if you have to pay to utilize those spaces, then it's well okay. Maybe we need to be getting a van pool arrangement going.
And Pax Seafood, I know previously, like Gary mentioned, was very willing to come to the table and say, how can we make this better for our employees? And they did enlist the use of a shuttle when they had their seasonal workers that were staying in different motels and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they really kept a lot of those parking spots open by having that running frequently. So there's a lot of conversations to have. It's an excellent idea. But again, there's a cost in coming up with that ability to have a shuttle. And then how many different times a day
right. Does
it have to run?
Yeah, and then how you set it up for tourism obviously is going to look very different than how you would set it up for van pooling. Because a carpool van pool is going to be meeting business needs, shift work, that kind of thing, which is very different than what your tourism cycle would be. Well, it's on the table, and it's certainly something that, that we want to explore. So,
and potentially,
yeah.
Pardon me. Just potentially, you know, if the meter's allowed for a, you know, like a 15-minute. I don't know if there's some kind of like a, I don't even know how you do this, but there, the locals who do shop on the Bayfront, all they need is 15 minutes to get in and out. You know, if you want to buy something at a, at one of the shops on the Bayfront, I often go to the toy store to buy gifts or baby showers or whatever. I need 15 minutes. I need to go in and out. Like, if I don't have to pay for that, that's great. If there's like 15-minute leeway, I have no idea if that's possible, but that would be great for locals.
I definitely side with the QR code idea. I mean, I use my phone all the time. We have it on our to-go menu because our to-go menu is very limited. And if you scan that, it brings you right to our website with all the information you'll need. And I do like to connect people to what they're paying for, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So a parking meter, you're just putting your money in a machine mm-hmm. and it's, you're not correlating. But a QR code and a website where you're paying, you can say, thanks, you're going to help an improvement here, you know, and that way people can associate, hey, I just did something good for a community that I like and that I'm a part of. So,
and maybe the app has some kind of tie-in to where when you order from Toast, I don't know what your POS software is, it says, hey, we give you first 15 minutes free on your parking.
Yeah, some sort of discount program.
You're talking like a validation type.
Yeah.
Yeah, validation or yeah.
Yeah, and I think even if whatever app we choose or whatever doesn't have that functionality, loading zones can be made useful for the short term parking, like she was talking about. And if we have enough of those dispersed properly, provided we have enforcement. That's the trick. But if we do have a fair number of them down there. I mean, I spend more time on the east end than the west end, but there's a fair number of them over there. But that's one way we could possibly handle that.
And parking the last couple of years has been the Wild West on the Bayfront because locals know we don't have enforcement.
Yeah.
And I mean, I go down there and I see every green zone we have full. And it's with, you know, a plate from Washington, from California, from Idaho. I know they're not loading or unloading, you know, type things. And our locals do that, know that also. Our business owners mm-hmm. know that it's safe to park here. And I don't have to move all day.
We also have more and more demand for, you know, either outdoor vendor sales or outdoor seating in restaurants. The pandemic, I think, just really, really amplified the desire of folks to eat outdoors and not indoors at times. And we try to accommodate that as best we can under the city's framework.
Thank you. Can I just say thank you?
but that's another dynamic we need to be thinking about, too. There is going to be continued demand that will also further constrain some of the supply that had traditionally been there.
One thing about the QR codes we need to consider is not everybody has a cell phone.
Well, that's a good point.
I mean, you know, visiting the senior center down here, since I'm a senior, not a lot of old people have cell phones, or if they do, let me tell you, they don't know how to use them, and QR code is, that's a funny thing.
You know what? You know what they do here, just to let you know, they on their sign, it says, if you don't have a cell phone, go to this shop. And it points to the library, which is right here. Sorry, I'm in Ireland. So it gives you a clear place. So right here across from where I am, it's the library. And it tells people on the sign, if you do not have a cell phone, go to the library. And you pay at the library.
Yeah, right. Or, you know, a lot of the public lots, too, will do, you know, If you can't navigate the technology side, there'll be a kiosk every certain distance that you can go and just use your hard card.
That's something to consider.
Well, yeah. And I just think it's really easy or easier on a scale of when you look at all the things on the list that you could possibly do, putting a sign up with a QR code and that software mm-hmm. being in place is less costly
Right.
And can be done a lot faster than going through all these hoops and here we are 6 years later, you know, after doing all these assessments and parking committees. I mean, I like to knock out the easy things first. And if this can be done in a timely fashion and we start generating revenue, then we can start continuing mm-hmm. with seeing what we're getting from what we have.
Okay, this is lending itself to kind of a next steps discussion, which, and then the last thing I had on the agenda, which is kind of a future meeting schedule so that we can get a sense of how frequently the group will be meeting. Next steps, you know, again, would be for us, for probably the next meeting, is to begin to bring in some of the different technologies or vendor options that are out there for you to be able to start looking at and begin to do some refinement on the meter permit concept. So we'll focus probably a little bit more on that in terms of next steps, and then and start to work through that process. That was my thought, at least, because timing wise, that's probably the first piece that would get implemented. But we do have city code work to do, permit, talking about the permit program, so those pieces as well. Would be some of the things that would be coming up. I know this particular kickoff meeting was probably a little remedial for some who had a lot of this background, but not everybody was starting from the same place, so I thought it important to you know spend some time in meeting one just to kind of cover the ground that's been covered.
Are we planning to start to roll out metered parking, just to generic, next year?
That would be the target. And that's why, as Jason said, that they would be looking to ramp up enforcement around April. Okay. That would be the target. If we can do it quicker, we can do it quicker. But believe me, that's still a reasonably aggressive schedule just to get.
No, I agree.
Because there will be a number of issues that have to be sorted out through this, and there's going to have to be some decisions made along the way by policymakers. So that gets me to the future meeting schedule. So what do you guys think about it?
Eric, can I ask a question real quick?
Sure.
It's Loretta.
Yeah.
So I just want to clarify the purpose of this committee. Is it our job to implement what has already been decided by the city council, or is there room to make suggestions and change that plan?
The committee can always make recommendations. I think the council, and I believe they actually had one of their interview questions when they were interviewing this group, wanted to make sure folks were good with implementing recommendations that were made. We don't want to be high-centered on the metering. Just getting to a point where there was a recommendation for what to do took a lot. And I think some of the other folks on this committee who were part of that process, please feel free to chime in on that. So I think some of these key recommendations, the Bayfront being one of them, you know, we're moving to implementation at this point. We're done talking about should we or shouldn't we meter. We've got to, otherwise, I mean, we'll just be going around in circles for forever. But that's not to say everything that's in that plan is set in stone and can't be adjusted.
Yeah, I would say just as a committee member, my two cents as a member of the committee is, having been part of it previously, I really have no motivation to entertain rehashing that entire thing all over again, because it was a painful thing that we went through. We got through it, and it was the general consensus that was based on very sound reasoning that it's time for us to do something about demand issue down on the Bayfront. That's my two cents.
Well, I'm not opposed to that or anything. I'm just trying to clarify the purpose of this committee, because quite frankly, in my original interview, that was not made clear. And I guess I'm a little confused. If our job is straightforward, we're going to implement metering one way or another, then why are we having conversations of vertical parking lots, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, I think when you're talking about large capital expenses like structured parking, that's down the road, and you would actually need to have some form of dedicated funding to really make something like that happen. It's in a capital plan where it could be done. It's not a high priority. And so there are a lot of different pieces of this that can be touched on and further refined. And when we talk about implementation, just in the context of the Bayfront, there are still a lot of decisions that have to be made that haven't been made yet. You know, there's a basic framework that was discussed and agreed upon that was worked into the plan, but a lot of those pieces, individual pieces, need to be revisited. And as we've been discussing, there's a lot of technology changes that have happened, which may lead to slightly different implementation than was originally envisioned. And we have even further to go with Nye Beach at this point. So that's not even as far along as the Bayfront in terms of, you know, what do we do down there? And then City Center, Doretta, where you're at, I hadn't even mentioned this, but it was recognized that we're going to be pouring a lot of money into the infrastructure in that area over the next 10 years or so. And so some of the decisions relative to City Center will need to be revisited anyway once we fully commit to whatever package of improvements we're going to be making to the streets and sidewalks and in that area.
I appreciate the clarification. Thank you.
Can I make something about that, Derek?
Sure.
I mean, I understand, and I do get your point about not the when the council did the interviewing process, they didn't really talk about meters. I mean, they talked some about, but very little. But I do know what we've all been through for the last, I don't know how many years we've been doing this, and it was painful. Myself, I put my name on this a bunch. Aaron can, I mean, I was at commission meetings. I was, you know, user group meetings. And the input, we took a tremendous amount of input from all different people, from all different, you know, just a lot of different opinions. It has taken years, I mean, literally years to get to this point. And I am glad we're at this point. And it's going to be a really heavy lift to even get through this point. And I appreciate every committee member that has signed up for this, because this is not going to be an easy deal. And people need to recognize that. That's all I have to say about that.
I need a bodyguard?
No. But I don't know that I can say any better than Gary did. It's parking issues are tough. Everybody has an opinion on parking, and people have very strong opinions about parking. And getting to full consensus, I mean, we're lucky to get to general consensus, you know, on a number of these issues. We're not going to get everybody on the same page. But to get to where we were at, it took a lot of engagement and listening and adjusting and molding that to get to the point where we're at. And it's going to take a similar effort to get it fully implemented. And it's going to take a lot of committee assistance in that.
And even after it gets implemented, I think we're going to need, there will be changes that will have to get changes, just like they talked about in the study, that once the mechanism is in place to charge, if you're talking about meter, I'm just talking about the Bayfront at this point. Once the mechanism is in place, then in order to move people around, however, to respond to the demand changes, you constantly have to maintain it. And we at the port, I can say firsthand, we deal with parking issues just about every day, and you get it from every direction. You get it from the people that don't think you charge enough, to the people that think you overcharge, to the people that think you under-enforce. Generally, all of those issues are interlinked with one another, and most people don't understand all of them very well, and it's difficult, but we'll get through it.
One thing
thanks to all of you who were there before I got here.
Okay.
I did all that.
So, Mr. Tokos, I heard you saying that you're going to do a lot of improvement with the infrastructure at the Bayfront, I guess. So is that link to the light-to-light development that's coming up for the whole county?
Yeah, sure.
To improve, to promote pedestrian bicycles, to have the facility to instead of riding a car, the bicycle, which is greener for the planet, you know?
Right. I'll be really brief with respect to what I was meaning in City Center, because it was captured in here. In 2015, we worked with the community and the other taxing entities to put in place a what we call an urban renewal, a new urban renewal district. The city used to have one that included the Bayfront, Nye Beach, and other areas, but that had closed down in 2010. And it had been active since the early 70s. So it was at the end of its life. And a lot of what you see in these areas were funded with urban renewal. And what urban renewal is, it's called, it's tax increment financing. In other words, we're taking a little bit of the taxes each of these different taxing entities would otherwise collect, and we're funneling it away for specific types of investments. So in Nye Beach, that ended up being things like the Nye Beach, the Arch, and all of the streetscape improvements, the Visual Arts Center, the Performing Arts Center, and the Bayfront. You're looking at the boardwalk, a whole lot of the improvements to the infrastructure that you don't see below ground to support a lot of the businesses, fish plants, things of that nature. And then the streetscape work that was done to bury the overhead utilities on the west side of the Bayfront. A lot of that, you're looking at urban renewal dollars that could help fund that. Because we don't have, otherwise, we don't have dedicated funding sources for streets, for example, other than what we get in terms of our local gas tax, which is small, and what we get from state and federal gas taxes, which is a little bit bigger, but still relatively small, and is basically all we can use those for is our street pavement and repair program, basically. And so urban renewal is a big deal if you're trying to do any kind of major capital investments to improve your streets. You can use them for parking, you can use it for sidewalks, improving cycling facilities, all of that. So that urban renewal district we put in place in 2015 is now generating enough increment that it's meaningful dollars, because it takes time. They grow slowly because tax bases grow slowly, no more than 3% per year. That's the law in Oregon. And so we're wrapping up a transportation plan that it will be pouring a lot of money into the city center area, because that was an area that really didn't get the attention Nye Beach and the Bayfront did under the original district. Nye Beach and the Bayfront are not part of that urban renewal district, so we can't use urban renewal dollars for anything in Nye Beach or the Bayfront. But we can in city center, and will be making some major improvements. And Arceli, to your question about lighthouse to lighthouse, yes, it's all about improving and creating an integrated, you know, bicycling network, you know, as an alternative to 101. Lighthouse to lighthouse is a grant application that we have in right now that's pending to try to get a hold of what we call federal land access program funds. So they're only available for projects that improve access to federal lands. And the only federal land we have is the Uquinahead Natural Area. So that's what we're looking to do is, we're partnering with BLM, who manages that property, to try to get a multi-use path extended from Lighthouse Drive all the way to Ocean View. That's a $4.7 million project. It's pending.
That's amazing.
So we'll see if we get the funding or not. And the beauty of that one, frankly, too, is if we do get the funding, Federal Highways is the one that does the full implementation. So the burden doesn't fall on our public works department to do the design and all of that. But that would help as it relates down to Nye Beach in terms of improving. You probably see more cyclists going to Nye Beach.
Locals walking.
Locals walking, all of that.
Wonderful.
So back.
Standing date.
Once a month. Does that sound good? Is this type of time frame best for folks, like a 6 o'clock p.m. start?
Works for me. I have a full-time job.
Yeah, I recognize folks have full-time jobs, and it's hard to carve out the time.
Aaron, I vote four.
Yeah.
Yeah, four works for me.
I'm kidding. I'm a job person. Your guys' committee.
I was going to say, everybody gets a vote but you.
I know.
I won't be in Dublin again, so... No, no more 2 a.m. for me.
But does like a once a month 6 p.m. meeting work? Is this a good day typically for folks?
It's Wednesday, right?
Yeah, it's Wednesday.
My schedule's all over the place, Derek. I never know what it's going to be. So,
okay. Why
couldn't we have them during the day like we used to?
We can. I'm putting it to the group. I can do it either way.
I personally would rather have them during the day.
I would too, but that's, but it's, you know.
4 o'clock.
It worked for me, yeah.
I'm available for anything.
I work 365 days a year, so just pick one.
Ditto, Doretta.
Yeah, I know.
Or GP 7 to 3:30 and whatever they want.
We still have to work, so we're not retired.
Okay, but it's what it sounds like, though, unfortunately.
I could do six.
Doing it during the day means some of our committee members just can't participate at all because of their job obligations, so.
Yeah, six is okay for me, yeah.
Once a month at 6 p.m., is that workable?
Yeah.
I prefer Tuesday or Wednesday if that works for everybody.
Monday is out.
Yeah, Monday won't happen. I'll promise you Monday won't happen.
No Fridays.
Yeah, Fridays are out.
Let's make it Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay, I'll look to land these in on the third Wednesday of each month, if that works. Try to land them at 6 p.m. and keep the meetings preferably no more than 2 hours, but preferably an hour and a half.
Are we going to have the Zoom stuff available?
Zoom will be available if you need it. You bet. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
Appreciate that, Derek.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody. I'll have a high for you tomorrow.
Have fun.
Okay, that's all I had on the agenda, everyone. Thanks for your thanks for signing up. And look forward to working through these issues with you guys. And we'll get that scheduled and get out a tentative agenda in advance so you have a sense of what's
going on. Hey, Derek, could we have a reminder sent out a little closer to the meetings on email? In fact, I had forgot about it today. And I know, in fact, at lunch I was telling my wife, I got one of these parking meetings coming up here pretty soon. And I better go home and check through my old emails. And anyway, you had one there, you know, but it'd be nice to, if we could get maybe one a couple days ahead, maybe in just a short reminder of the day too. I don't know. That's possible.
No, that's fair. We can do that. And yeah, we'll do that. That way that makes it a little bit easier because I think it was a little bit short notice for folks with the Zoom information. We'll try to get that to you maybe a couple days in advance so that you have a little bit more heads up.
Hey, Gary, you know that fancy phone that has the QR code readability? It also has this thing called a calendar.
Yeah, I know.
I can text
you,
Gary.
I'm using it more and more all the time.
I'm
getting there. Slowly but surely, I'm getting there.
You know, we do a lot of digital stuff in the real estate business. You'd be absolutely amazed at how many older people don't even have an email account. We still do a lot of stuff, snail mail and fax.
All right, guys. That's all I had. Unless anybody else has anything for the good of the order, that's it for today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Nice meeting
y'all.
Thanks, Derek.
Yep, you bet.
Do you want to keep the program with us?
Okay.